Welcome to Rooster Radio, where we talk to interesting people doing amazing things. I'm Andrew Montesi, and unfortunately my co-host, James Begley, couldn't join me for this interview. I jumped onto Skype and called into Helsinki for an interview with Andrew Noel Schacker, who has spent 20 years living in Finland studying its business culture. His books, The Finnish Miracle and The Finnish Miracle 100 Years of Success, are bestsellers, revealing Nordic insights into achieving business and personal success. You're probably asking, why Finland and why should we care? Andre tells us that Finland has developed a culture of entrepreneurship, courage, trust, and invested heavily into its people. The economic and social outcomes have been remarkable, and there is much for countries like Australia to learn. Andre will be in Adelaide sharing his insights at Hybrid World, a tech conference held on July 23 and 24. Also within the event is HWA Lab, which brings together entrepreneurs and mentors to collaborate and develop new projects, products and plans that use digital technology to further advance their industry. There's a lot happening at the event. Check it out at hybridworldadelaide.org. But for now, enjoy our chat with Andre Noel Schacker. Andre, welcome to Rooster Radio.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
No problems. Now tell me, how does a Canadian lawyer end up studying business in Finland for at least the last 20 years?
Well, yeah, it's the phone call that changes your life. It's that one call. Had you not taken that call, the course of your life would have changed completely. And in this case, it came after shortly after I passed the New York bar exam, and I was heading off for Wall, and then the phone rang, and my direction changed for the North Pole. And it wasn't even the beautiful Finnish woman who called me. It was a Finnish scientist who asked me to be the executive director of a worldwide scientific network. Lobby for them, raise money for them, manage the organization worldwide. And I said, yeah, I'm leaving this rat race and I'm going there.
That's amazing.
And it was, the partners at the firm didn't think it was that amazing. They thought I was completely crazy and in need of a psychiatric attention. But, I don't regret it at all. I found a place in the world that is secretly competitive, inspiringly so, by the way they live and do business. And I've written a lot about this, spoken a lot about this, actually I'm going to Budapest tomorrow for a business forum with all the Nordic embassies for people in Hungary who want to understand how do you become as competitive and as happy as Nordic people. So that's the gist of my experience.
Wow, it's amazing. I'm keen to dig into what you've learned, but can you maybe set us up with a little bit of context about Finland in terms of culture and business? Where's it at? I mean, most people who are listening to Rooster Radio are likely to have no idea whatsoever, with due respect to our listeners.
It's a nation. It's a young nation. It's a startup nation. It's 100 years old. Fought hardly for its independence, and then fought extremely hard to develop a level of well-being that puts them in the world's top rankings for education, sustainability, honesty, happiness. You know, you name it. You want to be on those rankings. Top five. Top ten. At the very least. So this is the context of a nation that is as happy as it is competitive, business-wise, but happy socially and culturally. Of course, it's not paradise. You know, it's humanity, so it's never going to be perfect. But they have there is a framework here, and I believe there is a model and almost a social process for generating better social and economic results. Finland and its neighbors in the Nordics have such a process, and it's worth looking at, not to copy-paste, but to be inspired by some of the principles that are there to inspire us.
Hmm. So on those principles, I think you refer to them as the three S's. Can you maybe just talk us through that?
Well, yeah, the S's are a bit of a funny metaphor, which I put in my TED talk. Thank you for reminding me. But they go really towards the three core values that I put them into five into my book. But if I can go to the core of the success of the Nordic countries is across the board a massive egalitarian investment into people. A massive egalitarian investment into people. I.e., regardless of your background, regardless of how much your parents make, you know, you're going to get the same chances and the same care as anybody else. Massively. Everybody, no exceptions. All right. It's what, you know, and that is a huge investment into education, into healthcare, into social services, into support. You know, people are regarded as the fossil fuel of the nation. You know, that we want to invest into that energy to make us successful long term sustainably. I think it sounds very simple, but it doesn't happen anywhere else in the world as well as in the Nordics. All right. And that is the bedrock of sustainable success. Whatever happens when your people are in good shape, they are well educated and they are treated fairly, they're going to produce results on the long term better than elsewhere. That's one. The other thing that stems from that is a tremendous culture of social and corporate trust. You see, when you have a high level of trust in society, Norway and Finland, for example, if you lose your wallet in Oslo or Helsinki, 97% of the population believe that they will get it back if a police officer or somebody they know find it. And that sounds funny. It's a nice little piece of data. But if you go into the science of this, you know, the sociologists and the economists who have studied this will tell you that in societies where there's a high level of trust, everything happens faster, with greater certainty, and ultimately long-term cheaper than in other societies or companies. A huge driver of efficiency, social economic efficiency is trust. You know, those are the two, I would say, main drivers. And perhaps the funny one that really applies to Finland the most is a surprising driver. Also, this one starts with an S. More clearly, it's the amazing driver and the amazing power of silence. I thought we would do silence, just the two of us now, just to have a measure of the. But it's captured in a really cool book called Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. Susan Cain, bestseller. Actually, Susan is coming to Finland in the fall for our Nordic Business Forum. And actually, she talks about Finland in chapter one of her book and says, you know, Finland is the most introverted nation on earth. And it's a very good thing because that's how you get the very best education in the world. That's how you get some of the very best experts in science and technology in the world. Is when you let people do their work and not force them into, you know, perpetual, continuous, nonstop group work and over socialization that we have in North America, where you got to be always part of the group, always cheerful, always with other people, and when you do that, you tend to develop a great personality, but not much pith in your character. Finn's, granted, go a little bit overboard with silence. And that's the weakness of their strength. But,
doesn't make for great podcasting, does it? It's not great podcasting, a silent podcast, no, I wouldn't have thought.
No. But you have to say you enjoyed the moment of silence I gave you on this podcast.
I did. It was refreshing. it's really interesting. I'm wondering how has this always been embedded in the culture of the country, or have you, as you've looked back into the history, have you seen an evolution over time?
Everything stems from the unbelievable turmoil of European politics of the beginning of last century, where you had extreme conservatism, capitalism facing extreme socialism, as we know. Finland was devastated by the massive impact point that had in their country, which was one of the bloodiest civil wars in the history of Europe, if you count losses per capita in the amount of time. Very bloody, very fast, brother killing brother, very, very nasty. So unlike other European countries, like Germany, for example, and we know what happened to them in the 20s and 30s, the country realized very early that it makes no sense to try to kill ourselves for this differences in opinion and ideology. Why don't we blend the best of liberal economics and the best of social communism? Let's take the best elements of all of these things and try to live together without killing each other. How about that?
It's wise.
There you go. But you know, when you've killed almost 100,000 people, you know, in 3 months, then you sort of realize, you know, this doesn't make much sense. And actually, we're actually related to these people. They're our blood relatives. It's complete madness. So they understood from that point on that there's no point in trying to find one or the other. It's a question of blending these things. And they have definitely, with of course the influence of the Nordic brand of socialism, of economic and economic socialism that Sweden developed for other reasons, and in some ways similar reasons, but they didn't have a civil war like this and so on. They were able to put together a society where it is as easy to be an entrepreneur as it is to be a person working in a factory or being part of academia. I mean, everyone is supported for what they can bring to the social table. And that makes the society as a whole a lot stronger and more efficient economically. You know, when I was in New York, we believed that, you know, socialism removes liberty. Socialism is the ultimate enemy of liberty. But in fact, people here are more free than they are where I come from, because they have a fantastic base. Everybody is treated fairly. We have low levels of crime. We have low levels of corruption. We have everybody's taken care of, and my God, you're free. You can go anywhere, do anything. You have air to breathe, and very actually clean air on top of everything. So you know, it's an interesting shift in thinking compared to what North America would consider to be the right way towards economic success, or the correct way towards becoming rich and successful.
So, I mean, people may be listening to this and thinking, this is great. Like, I'd love to transition towards this type of culture. But how? Like, in terms of, you're talking about cities, states, countries, culture doesn't change overnight. Where do you start if you want to bring a shift in culture? Because what you're talking about is quite radical compared to some cities in these Western cultures.
Yeah. Well, It all comes from Will. Will and looking at maybe the Nordic experiences for scientific and economic fact in terms of what you believe in terms of, you know, your background is entrepreneurship and you believe that the only way is to make it on your own and it's survival of the fittest. You might believe these things, right? And to a certain extent, maybe they apply, but in the large context, you know, it's really accepting that maybe your premises are not completely correct. One. And two, it's a decision to make value-based judgments and value-based decisions at every level of your society based on fact and scientific-driven, policy. So you know that Adelaide will be much better off 30 years from now if you have a more egalitarian and more supportive scheme to get everybody on board in education, basic education, higher education. Doing it, of course, as efficiently. You're not throwing money at people, keeping it lean and mean. You know, Finns are not throwing money at people, but they definitely make sure that there's a good balance there, making sure that, hey, you know, we have a vested interest in every single person of this city, every single person in South Australia is important for us, and we will do what we can to create a base, a platform for personal success for everyone. You know, and that's a big shift, of course, for some politicians, for some businesses. But that's the way to go if you want to achieve this in, you know, over the long term. You know, in terms of trust, it's really creating governance structures within your company, within your community, for transparency, for anti-corruption, you know, creating mechanisms that make sure that you, because, you know, corruption will always happen, lack of trust will always occur, but to implement mechanisms that exist, very simple mechanisms that you can put into place, and or others that you can put into place to make sure that you have a secure base, a clean platform for success, because nothing poisons success long term than lack of trust, corruption, and things of the and the like. So that it's really to be very vigilant in establishing those governance principles widely. And then, you know, the last one, the best advice is shut up and listen. You know, you don't need to always be talking and trying to sell yourself, and, you know, shut up and listen and think more than you're talking if you are that kind of culture. It might be refreshing and you might get some more insights.
I love it. It's interesting. I'm not sure how much you know about, you know, Adelaide or Australian culture, but it has been said that it's almost too easy here. That,
yeah,
you know, it's.
I know your culture well. I have relatives in Melbourne, so. I've been visiting your country for the past 30 years. I've been there maybe 7 times, all over the country.
Well, I'm interested in your thoughts then on Australian culture, but I mean, particularly in Adelaide, we live in a beautiful city, not too dissimilar to Melbourne, but smaller, but great culture. It's all pretty relaxed. But we do have some economic challenges. So I'm interested in your observations, having been to Australia, and what you think may be some steps forward.
Well, you have one of the greatest countries in the world. I mean, I've always loved Australia. And one of your strengths is definitely a relaxed approach, a very non-formalistic approach, which actually is very close to Finnish culture. Right? That's another thing about one governance structure that really sits well in your culture is getting rid of the hierarchy, getting rid of, you know, we have in many older European countries where, you know, you have Herr Doktor at the top, you know, and then you've got this unbelievable army of hierarchy under him, and you can never talk to your boss, you know, because, you know, there's an army of secretaries around. I'm exaggerating, but, you know, that kind of easygoingness which tends to promote things that scientifically promote success, which is low hierarchies, nimble organizations. You know, these things are natural to your culture and produce economic success if, of course, it doesn't go overboard in complete laziness and lack of structure, which looking at your beaches sometimes make me think that, wow, these guys are really taking it easy. So maybe it goes a little bit too far, but it's also a strength.
Right? Mm. Absolutely. I mean, one of the other issues that we're facing is the transition in economy. And I don't know if you've, in your studies and journey, if you've learned anything about cities or cultures that have transitioned from one way of life or one industry to another and managed to do it well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, of course, Finland is such an experience. You know, this country was a country made of 75% of this population 100 years ago were farmers, 75%. And now they're under 1%. That's a massive transformation over time.
Wow.
It's a huge transformation from being very, very uneducated, very, very non-urban to you know, an urban and technology powerhouse. It's a huge transformation, and it comes with the building blocks of education, good governance, investment in technology and into people. I mean, that over a long, it doesn't happen overnight. You know, a lot of our technology companies that are doing well now are doing well because there were smart investments in technology, early technologies in the 80s, supported by the state. It's a long-term approach, to turn things around. It won't happen in a year. It might happen in 10 years. In some industries, in some technology niche markets, there are easy wins where you can do things, gaming or as we've seen in Finland, where you can, but even then, you know, their story, which I've seen very closely, from very close, is a great story that took, you know, 15 years of systematic investment in industries that most people didn't believe in. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I know you've got a big day ahead of you. It's early in the morning in Helsinki. But before you go, I mean, as an entrepreneur yourself, I'm quite interested in the industries, the companies. What's taking your interest at the moment as an entrepreneur, and where are you? What's getting you really excited? Where do you see big growth opportunities?
Well, there are so many. I mean, I wouldn't want to take too much of your radio time on this, but I, you know, just last week I was doing a huge event in Helsinki for it's the most Finnish of pharmaceutical companies. They are an amazing company called Orion, or Orion, as you would say in Australia. You know, they have visionaries working, you know, 10, 15 years on the same drug, and they're coming up with stuff that really, really will transform how we see health issues in the future, where a cancer diagnosis will be as depressing as receiving the news from your doctor that you have a bad flu. Take these, right? Wow. You know, when those things are just amazing, the innovations that we're going to be seeing in healthcare and the growth in healthcare and biotechnology is going to be just amazing. Obviously, the energy sector, you know, are one of our main companies here that is the leading energy company for Google and the city of San Francisco. They're called Neste, and they're transforming the way we will be using resources to create energy. I mean, it's an amazing story. So energy, healthcare, very, very, very excited about gaming as well. Gaming and what we will be doing with mixed reality, augmented reality. You know, it's mind blowing what we're going to be able to achieve on the entertainment on the entertainment front, and that excites me because I have a lot of projects and investments in that industry. So, yeah, you know, I do 115 events a year. Last year I did 115 events, 18 industries. I can go through each one of them and tell you what's exciting about their industry, but they're the ones that come top to mind because I've just done them in the last few weeks, and that's why, and those are the industries where I have most of my investments. But yeah, very exciting stuff.
Awesome. Well, Andre, thanks so much for taking the time, mate, to have a chat with me on Skype all the way over here in Adelaide. So back to you in Helsinki. It's been an absolute pleasure. Pretty excited about your keynote, actually. I reckon there's going to be a lot to learn. So we look forward to seeing you here in Adelaide for Hybrid. All the best.
Very cool. Thank you so much, Andrew, for your time. And hello to everybody in Adelaide. Looking forward to coming.
Thanks for listening to our chat with Andre Noel Shacker. Remember, you can catch his keynote in Adelaide at Hybrid World. Check out hybridworldadelaide.org. Make sure you subscribe to Rooster Radio, and if you like what we're doing, please leave us a review. Listen to more episodes and connect with us at roosterradio.biz.